Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Conservative's Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. My name is Bostic, James Bostic. It's good to be here with you. We do this twice a week, and we do it live right here on blogtalkradio.com, and we do it through the studios of the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And again, Tuesdays, Thursdays, live, Eastern 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, because we're not standard now, we're daylight. So 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Then we have the recorded show, which we do for Talk America Radio Network, and you can go to talkamericaradio.org, and you can find a couple of different audio streams there. They have a Liberty and a Justice stream. ACP's heard on either one of those at various times throughout the day. Also, the Internet Conservative Radio Network as well. Wow. I want to give a special shout out. There are probably none of them are listening. I'm almost convinced of that. Not a single one of them are listening, because they're probably all busy right now drying out canvas. But to my reenactor, Civil War reenactor here, captain of Bryan's Battery or the 1st West Virginia Light Artillery when we do Union. I've been Civil War reenactor for over 20 years. And this last weekend was the Battle of New Market reenactment. And when you do these things, and I've not been able to do them the way that they really deserve to be done. But when you make the trip, you go wherever, the battle reenactment's going to take place, and you set up housekeeping. Well, what's that consist of? Well, it depends on who you are, but usually it means a tent of some kind, white canvas, military-style tent, because you want to stay as historically authentic as you possibly can on the field and in camp as well. And one of the banes of the weekend reenactor, the camper, the guy that's out there in the tent, or the guys that they call the hardcore who are campaigners, in other words, they don't have a tent. They have blankets. They have a gum blanket, which is like a rubber poncho that they lay down on the ground, and then their blankets, or maybe they have a short lean-to. You want to talk about roughing it, those guys rough it. But there was a pretty serious rain Friday and Saturday night at Newmarket, and some of my friends on social media who were at the event were posting pictures. And Kathy, Hare, Peninsula, Chesterfield Light, you guys, I saw your picture, Kathy Hare. She's secretary there for those guys. She's an awesome person. You could see her floor and her rug very clearly under the water. It had rained so much that the floor of her tent was flooded. So, but anyway, you guys, God bless you, my reenactor brothers and sisters. Well, I guess we need to go ahead and get started talking about the interesting times that we live in. And I'm really, as usual, I don't have the first clue as to where I'm going to start. I'm just going to wait on some Randall Nurem firing to kick in and then start some cascade of associative memories. I've got a couple things lined out. And you know, we've been talking about this for a long time, and it's been kind of a bugaboo with me to the exclusion of a lot of other things. But what I've been watching, and I've been watching it very slowly, and I've been telling you guys about it, I've been sharing it with you, that I've been doing this real time. This implosion with the Mueller investigation, it's going to take longer. It's going to take a little longer than what it's been so far. But basically, it's been falling apart since the get go. It's like, boom, they throw up some kind of manufactured reason or some kind of manufactured evidence, which is really bad, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. And as soon as they throw it up, there are really good, solid, nonstop, gutsy, intrepid journalists, professional and otherwise, professional and amateurs, who are looking into this thing, that don't buy what it is that the Democrats and the Mueller investigative team are selling. And so they debunk. They just shoot down. It's just no sooner than something comes up, they shoot it down. And it's taken such a long time. And I know some of you are saying, well, why doesn't it just blow up already? I mean, all this stuff's in place. We hear all this stuff practically every day. New things are being revealed. Excuse me, I'm shifting my pharmacy out of the way. You know what? Speaking of, no, seriously, I am. Thank you, God, by the way. I have been tremendously blessed in my life health-wise. I take a little bit of ibuprofen here and there for the aches and pains that are concomitant with a ruggedly handsome 55-year-old man. And I take a little allergy medicine because this time of year the hay fever or whatever it is acts up. And I take a couple multivitamins. That's the extent of the medication that I take, and glory to God for it. Been working on trying to eat a little bit cleaner, lifting weights a little bit, trying to see people in my family live a long time. And I'm realizing that is, you know, I'm in my mid 50s. I have a brother that's in his early 60s, and he's in really good shape. He's a cancer survivor. So anyway, we started lifting shortly after Christmas, sometime in January. We started lifting weights, and I started working on moving away from the processed foods and the junk food, which is not easy, but I'm getting there, and I'm seeing results. But anyway, I digress. Back to this whole thing with the Mueller investigation. It's like every time they throw something up, bang, you know, whatever balloon gets tossed up or whatever clay pigeon gets thrown out gets shot down, and pretty quickly. But the problem is the list of players in this thing is unbelievably lengthy. And, you know, they go through all the branches of government. They're in politics. I mean, you know, but it is starting, and people want to go, well, why can't they do something? Well, they're getting ready to, okay? The you know, you've got FBI agents interviewing people with a prosecuting attorney, and there's a grand jury impaneled in Little Rock, Arkansas, over the Clinton scams and the crimes that they've committed. And we're seeing what's going on here in Washington, D.C. with the Mueller investigation. 19, I think there are 19 hatchet men on the Mueller crew. Not a single one of them is a Republican. Every single one of them is a registered Democrat. Of those 19, 16 are Hillary Clinton donors or cronies or fans or minions or lackeys or henchmen or gunsels. Okay. Part of her gang, some of her mob, or they've given money. You know, they've paid for protection, or they're, you know, they're soldiers for her. So you have those guys, and then you have, like I said, people, you know, the Democrat National Committee. Donna Brazile, when she was at CNN, was giving debate questions to Hillary Clinton's team. So she, yeah, okay, the fix has been in from the get-go. The only problem was, well, Donald Trump won, and they didn't count on that. They were so convinced Hillary Clinton was going to win. So the firewalls that are in place that are coming down, fundamentally easy, didn't even, you know, have to be there at all. They were a last-minute thing constructed when Donald Trump wound up winning the election. I promise you, Jim Comey wouldn't have gotten fired. There would be no need for Bob Mueller. There wouldn't be any. Hillary Clinton was not about to investigate herself or the lackeys and the minions therein who were going to give her the throne. But it didn't work out that way. So these guys had to backpedal. Well, they were able to fix the Democrat primary. Sadly, they weren't able to fix the national election. And 63 million Americans said, chuck you, Farley. And they moved on. And they voted for Donald Trump. They didn't vote for the Republican Party. They voted for Donald Trump and the things that he said during his campaign that resonated with them, making America great. So we go from this criminal enterprise, this conspiracy that rigged the Democrat national primary election process to one that attempted to rig the national election process. And failing that, they have worked assiduously to actively unseat a democratically, constitutionally elected president. And there are a lot of things that they did and a lot of things that are now coming to light. And one of the things we're going to talk about, and I say thing loosely because this slime ball, this cheesecloth, this truss, this suppository named John Brennan is in panic mode. Now, if you remember, and you may not, for those of you that came in late, John Brennan was director of the CIA during the Obama administration, and right now he is running for cover because, according to Joseph Klein, and I picked this over at Front Page Magazine today, he could be facing criminal charges for his role in the deep state cabal that sought to interfere with the 2016 presidential election and then to undermine the legitimacy of the duly elected president of the United States, Donald Trump. Acting in desperation as the noose tightens around him, Brennan tweeted a warning to House Speaker Paul Ryan and Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, claiming they will bear the majority of the responsibility of the harm done to our democracy. We're a republic, Johnny. Just toss that out there. If they don't stop President Trump from continuing along his disastrous path of making America, this disastrous path to which John Brennan took such offense was the president's own tweet on Sunday in response to news reports that an FBI informant, a spy, was hovering around members of Mr. Trump's campaign and asking them questions under false pretenses. Now, President Trump demanded that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the FBI, the Department of Justice, infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes, and if any such demands or requests were made by people from within the Obama administration. Brendan, clearly unfamiliar with the United States Constitution, and this will be a simple explanation for a man who once, and I am not making this up, America, who once voted, and this guy was the head of the CIA. This guy was Barack Obama's head of the CIA, who once voted for the Communist Party candidate for president, Gus Hall. No, I'm not making it up. You look it up. Even though, by the time he voted for him, Hall had by then been a longtime enthusiastic supporter of the Communist Soviet Union's hardline expansionist policies. Now, the Department of Justice, Johnny, are you listening? The Department of Justice is part of the executive branch of the United States government. Now, under Article 2 of the Constitution, John, the President of the United States is the head of the executive branch. The President, therefore, is acting within his constitutional authority to order the Department of Justice to undertake an investigation of possible abuse of power for political purposes within this same executive branch over which he now presides. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who has proven that he is no shrinking violet, had no trouble at all ordering the Justice Department's Inspector General's office to look into the matter raised by the president. Unlike John Brennan, Rosenstein understands the scope of the president's constitutional authority. Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein said in a statement, if anyone did infiltrate, and this is important, ladies and gentlemen, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein said in this statement, if anyone did infiltrate or surveil participants in a presidential campaign for inappropriate purposes, and they did, we need to know about it and take appropriate action. Department of Justice spokeswoman Sarah Flores said, the department has asked the Inspector General to expand the ongoing review of the FISA application process to include determining whether there was any impropriety or political motivation in how the FBI conducted its counterintelligence investigation of persons suspected of involvement with the Russian agents who interfered with the 2016 presidential election. Rod Rosenstein is one of the few people who can sign off on a FISA electronics surveillance warrant. I suspect he signed off on this one. He knew that this dossier about Donald Trump running around with Russian hookers and having them pee on the bed that was allegedly at one time occupied by Barack and Michelle Obama. Okay, disgraced FBI Director James Comey himself said that it was salacious and unverified, and thus it remains to this day. Again, let me get back to the article. President Trump believes that for good reason, Brennan was at the center of this cabal seeking to take him down, borrowing from the sentiments of a former Secret Service agent and conservative commentator Dan Bongino, a really cool dude. President Trump tweeted on Monday morning that Brennan was the one man who is largely responsible for the destruction of America's faith in the intelligence community and in some people at the top of the FBI. Brennan started this entire debacle about President Trump. Indeed, Brennan was the prime instigator behind the Russian collusion witch hunt, which grinds on, despite having uncovered apparently no evidence implicating the president after more than a year of investigation. Brennan pushed the FBI to get involved using the discredited, unverified Christopher Steele dossier as a lure. The dossier, again, was paid for by the Democrat National Committee under Debbie Jazz Hands Wasserman Schultz and later Donna Brazile and Hillary Clinton's campaign, but that did not matter to Brennan and those of his ilk. Just because it was unverified didn't mean it wasn't true, Brennan said about the dossier when he was interviewed on Meet the Press earlier in the year. This dossier served as a major justification for the FBI and the Department of Justice to apply to the FISA court for a surveillance warrant to spy on Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. The warrant allowed the FBI to intercept not only the communications of Carter Page, but also anyone in contact with Page whose metadata, phone number, email, that sort of thing, might have signaled a pattern interpreted by FBI analysts as potentially meaningful to a counterintelligence investigation. In other words, this warrant was a backdoor giving the FBI access to spy on the entire Donald Trump campaign. But in trying to distance himself from the infamous Steele dossier, which played such a critical role in moving the Russian collusion investigation forward, Brennan may have committed perjury in his testimony before the House Intelligence Committee in May 2017. Brennan claimed that he did not know who commissioned the Steele dossier and had no awareness whether the FBI ever relied on the Steele dossier as part of any court filing. He also denied that the CIA had relied on the dossier. Now, according to a report by Paul Sperry, which was published by Real Clear Investigations in February of this year, several Capitol Hill sources say Brennan, a fiercely loyal Obama appointee, talked up the dossier to Democratic leaders as well as the press during the campaign. They say he also fed allegations about Trump-Russia contacts directly to the FBI while pressuring the Bureau to conduct an investigation of several Trump campaign figures starting in the summer of 2016. President Trump picked up on Brennan's dissembling in his tweets, quoting Bongino, the president rather, quoting Dan Bongino. He says, "We now know that Brennan had detailed knowledge of the phony dossier. He knows about the dossier. He denies knowledge of the dossier. He briefs the Gang of Eight on the Hill about the dossier, which they then used to start an investigation about Trump. Brennan has disgraced himself. He's worried about staying out of jail," and he probably... That's probably a legitimate worry, because John Brennan used his perch as CIA director to subvert the United States political system in a way that would make Vladimir Putin's KGB and its successor, the Federal Security Service, proud. At some point here soon, Brennan is going to have to face the full consequences of his actions. There's no question about it. I tell you what, some serious business. Going to take a break. We're going to continue on in this vein. You know, and I'm not kidding. I wasn't making that up, guys. You can look it up. I think it was 1976, in the 1976 presidential election, this idiot who was head of the Central Intelligence Agency, he was director, Central Intelligence Agency, the top guy. If he wanted to get on the phone and say, "Hey, get me a jet. I want to fly out to Area 51 and take a look at those aliens you guys got in that big aquarium," he could do it. That's what I would do. But in 1976, he voted for the American Communist Party presidential candidate Gus Hall. He voted for a communist for president of the United States and wound up 30-some years later head of the Central Intelligence Agency. That's some frightening poo-poo, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously. Think about that for a moment. Running around tweeting threats to Mitch McConnell, somebody else we're going to talk about soon, who's on the hook for a bunch of Chi-Com cash because of his wife and her family. And Paul Ryan, Senate Majority Leader and Speaker of the House, trying to squeeze them, saying, "We're going to make examples out of you guys if you let the president continue on this way." In other words, do something, because he's too damn close to the truth. Mother of pearl. Okay, well, you know what? We're down to the bottom of the hour. I think we're going to take a little break right here, and we're going to run up with some music. We'll be back on the other side, and we're going to further talk about the treasonous activities of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And, you know, here's the thing. This is not a blanket indictment of the FBI or the Department of Justice, because on those lower levels, in those lower thresholds, the people that are out in the trenches are good, hardworking, conscientious people who are doing what they do because all their lives they had a dream of representing justice, of enforcing the law and making sure that it is meted out equitably. That's not what John Brennan has an interest in. That's not what James Comey has an interest in. That's not what Andy McCabe had an interest in. That's not what Bruce Rinelli or Christopher Steele or Cody Shearer or Donna Brazile or Hillary Clinton or Debbie Jazz Hands Wasserman Schultz or Bill Clinton or any of the upper levels of the Democrat National Committee, anyone on the Hillary Clinton campaign. They didn't have an interest in that. They had an interest in cementing Hillary Clinton's power base, therefore their own. And they would gladly sacrifice the well-being of this country at the altar of their own agenda and political ideology than they would do anything else. Okay, having said that, we'll be back right after this.
You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now. Does your mother realize the stork delivered quite a prize the day he left you on the family tree? Does your dad appreciate that you're merely super great, the miracle of any century? If they don't, just send them both to me. You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now. Ain't got a dime to my name, what a terrible shame. Ho, hum. Ho, ho, hum. Just found a hole in my shoe when my stocking shows through. Ho, hum. Ho, ho, hum. I know that when you're as free as a bird in a tree, life is a wonderful whim. Look at the crank with his dough in the bank. Don't you feel sorry for him? Rolling along at a loss, never gathering moss. Ho, hum. Ho, 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 hum. I'm no terrific success, I ought to worry, I guess. Ho, 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 ho. I like a shady old tree, what's the matter with me? Ho, 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 ho. There's nothing quite as grotesque as a man at a desk, looking outside at the sun. Shirts made of silk and a diet of milk. Maybe he thinks he has fun. I've got the vagabond itch. I guess I'll never get rich. Ho, hum. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho.
Welcome back. Conservatives perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio Network. Twice a week, live, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And, of course, we have the recorded program that is sent out over the this is Patriot Nation. If it's Tuesday, it's Patriot Nation. But the rest of the week when it's recorded, it is the Talk America Radio Network. And you can find those folks, talkamericaradio.org. Outstanding group of programs and hosts, and you don't want to miss out. ACP is proud indeed and humble to be there. Well, as we have been talking on Sunday, a justifiably outraged President Trump called for the former Obama administration to be investigated for its unprecedented and profoundly un-American spying and sabotage operation against his 2016 campaign. I hereby demand, he said, and will do so officially tomorrow, that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Justice, infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes, and if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration. We talked about that at the top of the hour. That's what the president tweeted out yesterday or Sunday afternoon. Well, we know one of the guys. Now, again, you know, we should be shocked and appalled. We should be outraged. We should be incensed. If nothing else, you know, just because in the beginning of this, everybody was shocked and freaked out because it was simply, you know, it was electronic surveillance. That meant phone calls, emails, that type of communication. Over the last couple of weeks, we have come to find out that it went beyond that, that it transcended that, that it was also, there was a human intelligence component to that. They, in other words, had people operating inside the Trump campaign. And the guy's name is Stephen Halper. Now, earlier this week, well, late last week, the heads at Justice, at Central Intelligence, at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, began committing felonies. In other words, what they were doing is they were leaking information to news sources that would be sympathetic to what they were doing. Number one, the New York Times. Second, Washington Post. Basically, Democrats, the semi-official newspapers of all Democrats. And what these guys did is they gave these leaks out and they released this information. Number one, there are going to be people who buy this. Okay, not any of us, but there are going to be people who buy the story that, well, yeah, we had spies, and we're going to find out there was more than one. We're going to find out that there's going to be more than just simply Stephen Halper. There are going to be others. And Halper made, they think, in excess of $1 million. He might have been paid over close to $1 million by the FBI through various and convoluted financial outlets within the government for this. So they send these leaks out to the Post, Washington Post, New York Times. Well, yeah, we had spies in there and we were doing this stuff, but we weren't doing it because we were out to get Donald Trump. No, man, we were trying to protect him. See, we wanted spies in there in case those dirty Russians tried to mess with our boy, because we love you, Donald. We didn't want anything to happen to you, pal. We care about you. Well, but that's not going to be the deal at all. That's not why they were doing it. They were doing it for one reason and one reason only, and that reason was to get dirt on what's going on with the boy. So the money that he was paid, it's like over $500,000, was paid by the Department of Defense's Office of Net Assessment. Now, the timing is kind of suspect on the money, because based on what Clarice Feldman, who is an ACE reporter, she's done a lot of good work on this, because it looks to her that these payments by the DOD's Office of Net Assessment were made in July and September of 2016, those hot days there in the campaign. Then when we take that with the fact that we know that we have the Department of National Intelligence, the CIA, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Department of State, and the Defense Department all working in concert with Hillary's campaign to smear and create a basis to continue spying on Donald Trump and his campaign. Now, these stories that came last week and over the weekend from the Post and the Times clearly were dictated by the perpetrators of this unprecedented effort to interfere with our elections. That's why I say treason much, because that's exactly what it is. A careful reading of these two articles showed that they leaked just enough about Stephen Halper to positively identify him, while at the same time, the press refuses to name him because the selective leakers warned exposing him could endanger him or his contacts. Piffle. That's all we're going to say about it. So in taking these stories and setting these stories up to justify what was done, all in the name of protecting Donald Trump, the papers, through these selective leakers, revealed more of how Stephen Halper worked to entrap low-level campaign workers, maybe to pad up a non-existent reason for the spying, which had already taken place and which continued even after the election, when the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, renewed the fatally flawed FISA warrant. Think about that for a minute. Now, Rosenstein is the guy's deputy director right now. So he's overseeing, and as deputy assistant attorney general, he's overseeing the Mueller investigation. But at the same time, based on this, it would seem to me that he's kind of like a witness, too. And that sounds certainly like grounds for recusal. Never going to happen. So, according to a Post story, Stephen Halper struck up a conversation with Carter Page, who, incidentally, was also a longtime FBI asset and a witness against Russian interests, his own self. And Halper struck up this conversation with Page in the summer, July 2016, posing as an academic interested in American politics. In late summer, Halper met with Trump campaign co-chairman, a guy named Sam Clovis, and he offered Clovis to provide foreign policy expertise to the Trump effort. Well, Clovis begged off any further meetings because of the press of campaign activities. Well, in September, Halper contacted George Papadopoulos, who was also an unpaid foreign policy advisor to the campaign, and he invited Papadopoulos to London to work on a research paper on energy. And in exchange for that, he paid him $3,000. Apparently, this is a standard intelligence trick. You take your mark and you offer to pay them a decent amount of money for a report on what it could seemingly be an innocuous subject. So Stephen Halper doesn't have any contacts who are going to be endangered by releasing his name. Stephen Halper isn't going to be endangered by releasing, unless the Clintons decide to kill him. That's about the only, because you know how they are with people who make them look bad. And I'm not saying that the Clintons, I mean, because that's all coincidental. You know, the Clintons know a lot of people. People die every day. Consequently, the Clintons know a lot of dead people, or know a lot of people who have died. But don't believe it. He's not in any danger, and he doesn't have any contacts or any danger. The people that are in danger are the higher-ups at the FBI who are playing cover your butt with this. The stakes are so high that the FBI has been working over the last 2 weeks to try and mitigate the potential damage if the source's identity was revealed. This is the article continuing. The Bureau took steps to protect other live investigations that he's worked on and sought to lessen any danger to associates as if his identity became known. Now, these people, naturally speaking on the condition of anonymity, they're trying to make it look like this dude is really, really a hero, and he's doing all this good work for the FBI, and he's an important asset, and we don't want to say anything about it because we don't want to put him in danger. Well, he's not in any danger. The only people that are in danger are the people in the FBI that are covering this crap up. So let's get a little weedier on this if we can. In May 2016, okay, so this is just in the summer before the election, Australia's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, a man by the name of Alexander Downer, longtime Hillary friend, met with George Papadopoulos in a London wine bar, and he questioned him about Russia and the Hillary emails, because, you know, at this time we found out that Hillary Clinton was operating this homebrew email server. And she wasn't supposed to be doing that. 2 months later, after this meeting, he reportedly forwarded information about this conversation to the FBI, and the FBI claimed this was the basis for the counterintelligence investigation on Trump. Again, Alexander Downer, High Commissioner to the U.S., so he's a diplomat going to the United Kingdom. He meets with Papadopoulos in a bar, and he talks to him about Russia, and he talks to him about the Hillary emails. Then a couple of months later, he forwards the information about this chat that he had to the FBI, and the FBI turns around and says, well, the reason we started the counterintelligence investigation of Trump was because of what High Commissioner Downer told us. But Downer wasn't questioned by the FBI until days after this investigation was opened. Now, a former FBI agent puts it like this. And his name is Mark Walk, and he says that Halper might have been working for the FBI, but he was probably operating under what they call a PI, which is a preliminary investigation and not a full investigation. Former agent Walk says it probably went down like this. The FBI is asked, probably way back as early as 2015, but maybe earlier, who knows, to be helpful to the Democrats in terms of the campaign, and they agree. So what they do is they hire non-government consultants with close Democrat ties to, quote, do analytical work for them, which, you know, in the course of doing this analytical work, gives them total access to NSA data. Now, the advantages of this, obviously, for the Democrats, it's a gold mine because they have access to everything digital that's out there. Now, for an FBI, for the FBI, there's also an advantage, too, when it comes to this by playing it this way, because when things go down, they have plausible deniability. They can say, gosh, we didn't know they were looking at all that stuff. Plus, they don't have to falsify anything like making stuff up to justify a full investigation on an American citizen and then lying to the FISA courts to get the warrant on a United States person, U.S. citizen, and then they would have had to lie all over again for each time they got the renewal, which they had it renewed, I think, four times. Lied every time about it. Rosenstein, the guy that oversees the Mueller investigation. And again, the beauty of all this stuff is none of it was going to matter if Hillary had won. Who's going to find out? And even if you do find out, how would you prove criminal intent? So everything is humming along till a pain in the ass named Mike Rogers at the National Security Agency does an audit in April of 2016, just as the real campaign season is about to start. And Mike Rogers learns that 85% of the searches that the FBI has done between December 2015 and April 2016 have been totally out of bounds, looking at stuff they're not supposed to look at. So he clamps down. No more non-government contractors. He starts auditing searches of the NSA data. So what does the FBI do? Do they just give up? Well, no, not necessarily. But there's going to be a lot more work involved and a lot more fudging the facts. What the FBI needs to do now is to get a FISA cover, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act cover, that will cover their butts and provide coverage on the GOP candidates going forward. That means you got to get a formal investigation on a U.S. person connected to the Trump campaign. And and in April or May of 2016, which, you know, we're in the late spring moving into the campaign season when it goes full bore, Donald Trump looks like the head man. So they go with it. What they do first, they open up this preliminary investigation that allows them to use national security letters and other investigative techniques to keep at least some of what they were doing going. But importantly, this allows them to legally use Stephen Helper to try and frame people connected to the Trump campaign. In other words, find someone to open a formal investigation on so then they can get that FISA warrant. So that's what they do. Helper helps them come up with Papadopoulos and Page. And so by the end of July, they've got their formal investigation. The first FISA warrant is rejected, but eventually, October 2016, they get that. And then Trump wins. And Mike Rogers visits Trump Towers. And the deep state loses their mind. And I would imagine that if former agent Walk's surmise is valid, and I see no reason why it wouldn't be, what if this wasn't just Donald Trump? What if all the leading Republican contenders were part of this, or were subject, rather, to preliminary investigations? And then, of course, as that crowd thins out, who's left? Well, Donald Trump standing alone, so that's who their focus is on. Not dead air. I'm still here. Again, so what's happening at the end of this month? It's been pending for quite some time, but at the end of this month, we are reliably informed that the Inspector General's report will be released. And it's just going to be part one because, as we've seen, the president has directed the Justice Department to go ahead and look into this further. So that means that the Inspector General is going to be looking at other things and generating another report concerning the Mueller collusion investigation and what requests or demands, if any, were made by members of the Obama administration to carry this out. Because what it comes down to is this. You have two political parties, two main political parties, in the middle of an election. And the political party that is currently in power understands that it is within their best interests that the sitting political party in power remain in power. Well, they have a candidate. The fix has already been in for the candidate they've decided upon. Hillary Rodham Clinton. A dishonest, dislikable candidate, if ever there were dishonest and dislikable candidates. But that's who they decided to take to the prom, so they got to dance with her. Well, we got a problem. Yeah? What's that? Well, she's dishonest and dislikable. How are we going to get her elected? Yeah, you're right. Well, we're going to have to cheat. We're going to have to fix things. What are you talking about? Well, we're going to have to fix things, okay? We fixed it so she'd win the primary. Now all we got to do is fix it so she can win the national election. Oh, okay. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, we're going to pass the word up the food chain. We're going to get the president involved in this. He doesn't want to see his legacy stripped away, which, incidentally, it's just about gone. Any of his milestone legislation or executive acts, they're being rolled back on a daily basis. He's going to be the incredible shrinking president, the invisible president, the president who was not there, a footnote in the dustbin of history. However, so these people that are loyal to Obama and to this ideology, this progressive left-wing communist fascist galactic evil galactic empire ideology that all these people share, decide to take the FBI, the Central Intelligence Agency, the Department of National Intelligence, the NSA, the Department of Justice, the CIA, and weaponize them. And what I'm talking about, well, they've taken these agencies and they turned them on an American citizen. They turned these weaponized intelligence agencies and their techniques and their technologies, and they turned them loose against a fellow United States citizen who happened to be the leading candidate of the opposing political party. So in other words, they do what Democrats do best. They cheat. They cheat like the Dickens. But this transcends cheating. And I talked about this the other day, and we're going to talk about it again. There's a lot more facts. We're down to like 6-7 minutes. So we really just don't. We just don't have the time to go into it much more. But you've heard these things that we've said and that we've talked about and set this up. And here's the question I want to ask you. Let's talk about treason for a minute. Treason is a term occasionally bandied about, but is very rarely discussed seriously. President Trump, in a recent speech, has joked about it. And here's the thing. If you Google it, here's what you're going to find out. They say that treason is the crime, and listen to these definitions while you think and reflect upon some of the things we've talked about during the show. Treason is the crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign or overthrow the government. The United States Constitution, Article 3, Section 3, has similar words. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, the states, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. The U.S. Code from 1948 further clarifies this and said, whoever, owing allegiance to the United States, levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason. So what are some of the commonalities of these three definitions that we've talked about? Number one, allegiance to the U.S., meaning United States citizens. United States citizens who assist enemies, which would be foreign governments, aiding them, helping them, waging war against the United States with the goal of removing the sovereign, meaning the president, or overthrowing the lawful government. Now, war in the days of the Constitution was muskets and cannons. 200 years later, it's a little more sophisticated. Electronic surveillance, fabricated evidence, weaponized government agencies. In other words, it's exactly what was going on before, during, and after the last presidential election. That's what treason is. We're talking opposition research by one political party created by and with the assistance of a foreign entity. They declare it valid intelligence, which it is not. It is product. It has been manufactured. It has been produced. But it's declared valid intelligence by the government of the same party who produced it. Then it's presented to a secret court dishonestly, resulting in illegal surveillance of the candidate and the campaign of the opposing political party. These surveillance results are then illegally disseminated to the media, leaks, who willingly spread disinformation far and wide to the world. What's the point in doing all that? Well, obviously it is to subvert the Constitution. It is to subvert the lawful transfer of power from one administration to the next. And having failed that, the conspirators then tried to undermine the sovereign, the president, through accusations and investigations assisted by a foreign enemy. The phony dossier described by disgraced FBI Director James Comey as salacious and unverified, created with the assistance of the Russian government, served as the basis of spying on a political candidate and campaign. Post-election, the losing candidate, Hillary Clinton, within 24 hours of her concession speech, cooked up a scheme to blame her loss on Russian interference. The Russians did meddle, mostly after the election, but not so much to affect the election outcome, but rather to sow discord within America. And they were assisted by the deep staters within the FBI and the Department of Justice by altering testimony, leaking classified information, conspiring to kill the sovereign or overthrow the government, not literally kill, but to cripple the president through false information, leading to his impeachment and therefore his removal from office. And all of this is not to leave out the U.S. media, willing and eager participants in Russian propaganda and meddling, co-conspirators in the coup against the duly elected leader of the country. This is the same country. These people all pledged allegiance to at some point, either informally, thank you, Gwendolyn, either informally or as U.S. citizens. Because this is what they have done. It is treason, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the ships at sea. It's treason. We're down to the last few seconds. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I appreciate it. No end. Looking forward to talking with you next Thursday during the second live broadcast of the week, and that is, of course, also 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Oh, God, that chick really irritates me. Thank you for listening. Once again, we will be back Thursday, Lord willing, and the river don't rise, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. We'll talk to you on Thursday.